Chapter 5.
5?
5. John chapter 5, verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Now, throughout this fifth chapter of John, the Lord Jesus Christ reveals his greatness, his deity, his power, and so many other things about himself. But in verse 23, he says this, and this will be my subject for today's message, all men should honor the Son. How can a poor, broke, destitute sinner honor the Lord of all glory? How can we honor He who is righteous and perfect in every way? If you look at verse 18, you'll notice that in the same way these Jews got angry with Him because He had made Himself equal with God. Notice carefully what follows. Even as they honor the Father. And in John chapter 6, it says they took up stones to stone Him. Because He said, I and my Father are one. The world will not accept a Lord Jesus who is God Almighty. They say they do, but then they make Him out to be this weak-willed person who's waiting for them to do something, don't they? You need to come to the front of this church. You need to pray a certain prayer. You need to get baptized. You need to show up on Saturdays. You need to go in a little box over there with some other guy and tell him all your sins. All kinds of stuff they want you to do. Our Lord said, I and my Father are one. Yes. He also said, many good works have I done among you. For which of these do you stone me? All men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. They said, we're not stoning you because of the good work. We're not stoning you because you are a man, but we're stoning you because you claim to be equal with God. Our Lord says here, all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father, and he that honoreth not the Son, with full honors and full glory and full worship, honoreth not the Father who sent him. Now in the same fifth chapter, I want to go back to where our Lord came to a pool called Bethesda. Look at verse 2 through 13, if you would, please. You see, there was a man laying there on a makeshift bed. A portable bed that someone had brought with them. And he had been lying lame on his bed for 38 years. Just think of what condition that he was in laying in a bed. Have you ever seen somebody with bed sores? You know, you can get bed sores pretty fast. Kathy and I took our aunt in one time. It wasn't long before she couldn't get up and move anymore. Within days, sores began to appear on her body. We had to have nurses come over, and they had to roll her and do all kinds of stuff to keep that. Imagine laying in a bed for 38 years. That's... Wow. And our Lord Jesus looked at this lame man and he asked this question. He says, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt you be made whole? And the man replied, I have no help. I have no one to help me. You see, there was a tradition that an angel would come down at a certain time and would trouble the water. And the first one who was to get into that water was made whole. The man said, I don't have anyone to help me. He was stuck in the bed. He couldn't get over there and get in. I'm lame. I'm a lame man. I've laid in this bed for nearly 40 years, and every time I get down to the water, someone else has already beat me to it. Our Lord said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the scripture says what? Immediately. The power of God spoke to the flesh of this man. He said, rise and walk. Just as he said to Lazarus, come forth. When Lazarus was as dead as could be. So badly that he stunk. Power of God spoke. And immediately he was made whole and took up his bed and walked. His legs had been strengthened, and he was so empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ that he took up his bed and walked by himself. He didn't need any help at that point. He didn't need to sit around by the pool. He was healed. And he went off carrying that bed on his shoulders. Now here is a significant statement. You see, and it was the Jewish Sabbath day. So down the street he goes carrying his bed. He was leaping, rejoicing, praising God. Woohoo! I'm walking. Check it out. And everyone was looking at him and pointing at him, calling attention to him. Wow, wasn't that guy? Wasn't he the one who was hanging out by the pool all this time? Isn't that the guy who's been laying there? He had been lying there for 38 years by that pool, and every single one around him knew it. He had met some of the religious fellows, these religious Pharisees from the synagogue who saw him carrying his bed, but instead of marveling, instead of saying, wow, what happened to you? What miracle has been performed here? No, what did they say? You're breaking the Sabbath. Our tradition, whether it go to be that box, tell that guy your sins, or come to the front. Our tradition says you can't work. Instead of marveling at the miracle that the lame man made whole, they said, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. Put it down! Their traditions were more important to them than this man and his happiness. We don't care how happy you are. You don't do this on the Sabbath day. Their traditions. They didn't even want him to violate their religious traditions. They would defend them at any cost, as a matter of fact. They said, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. And he replied this. He said, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up your bed and walk. This is what he is saying. He's saying, I'm carrying this bed because he, the one who made me whole, the one who gave me the ability to walk, the one who said, rise and walk, he said, rise, so I rise. He said, walk, so I walked. You see the honor coming here? This one who healed this man is the one who's getting the honor. Not these religious buffoons who say you can't carry your bed on the Sabbath day. He that loved me and cared for me when no one else did in my weakness and my infirmity, he told me to carry this bed. He came to me in my need when no one else could help me, when I couldn't even help myself. And he spoke to me in the power of grace. He told me to carry this bed and walk, and he, by his mercy, made me whole. He gave me the power to walk. He said to me, take up thy bed and walk, and I intend just to do that very thing. I intend to obey the words of my master who told me to get up and walk. The one who cared for me, who loved me before the world was. Now, he didn't say that, but that's exactly what you and I see. We see a Lord and Savior who has loved us from before the world was. We see a Lord and Savior who has loved us so much that everything that has happened between the beginning, the actual creation of all things, and right now has happened for your and my sakes. Everything. All the wars, all the good things, all the inventions, everything has happened exactly how our Lord would have it done for the sakes of His people. That includes 9/11. That includes the fires up there in paradise. But it also includes those who built this country to what it is today. This wonderful place that we have and come in this building. Those who built this were there for our sakes. You see, we're talking about a God who rules over everything, who's sovereign in every way. Take up your bed and walk, and I intend to do exactly what he says. I take my orders from him. If what he says is conflict with you, what's the difference? All you ever did was stand there and watch me lay in my bed. I believe that he is the Son of God and his word is my law. He that made me whole told me to take up my bed and walk, and I intend to do that very thing. This is what he's saying, folks. He's saying, I honor my God. I am honoring the Son. He told me to take up my bed and walk. I am doing so because he is my God. It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter what those people over there think of me. It doesn't matter what the church down the street wants to point their fingers. That's those Calvin people down there. Who cares what they think? All men should honor the Son as they even as they honor the Father. Folks, I would like for you to consider five scriptures. And there's no conflict here. There's no danger that we're going to give too much glory to the Father or too much glory to Jesus Christ. There's no way that we're going to rob God the Father of any of His glory by giving glory to His Son. For the Scripture says, honoreth the Son as you honoreth the Father. It says, all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And if you honor the Son, you do honor the Father. This is my Son, God said, pointing to Jesus. This is my Son, on whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
Our Lord prayed, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had had with thee before the world was. When you honor the Son as you honor the Father, you are not robbing honor from the Father, you are giving honor to Him. Actually, He said, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. So if you don't give honor to Jesus Christ as God in the flesh, then you are dishonoring the Lord God. You can't give Christ too much glory. There is no way that we can praise Him adequately, but there is also no way that your tongue could ever praise Him like He should be praised. Is there? I was mentioning that in my prayer earlier. We say thanks, Lord. But if you think about what He has given us, that thanks that we give our Lord is pretty puny and not really worth anything, is it?
Amen.
But that's all we have. I don't have any righteousness of my own. All I can do is say, praise you, Lord, for giving me, for being merciful to me, a sinner.
Yes.
Knowing that I deserve the wrath to come. You cannot magnify His name enough. God has given Him a name above every name, and that name is the name of Jesus Christ, and every knee shall bow. I want you to listen to the scripture in John 15:23. He says, he that hateth the Son hateth the Father. If you hate the Lord Jesus Christ, if you hate the true and living Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has all power, the one who comes to us in the day of His power and makes us willing, the one who is in control of the very air that we breathe. If you hate that sovereign Jesus Christ, then you hate the Father. Do you have low thoughts about Christ? If so, then you have low thoughts about God. He that hateth the Son hateth the Father. Listen to this in 1 John 2:23. It says, whosoever denieth the Son, whosoever denieth, No, Jesus is man. There's no way he could do all those wonderful things. Oh, yes, he can. And yes, he did. And yes, he will. Whosoever denieth the Lord Jesus Christ denieth the Father. When a person puts doubts on Christ, when you put doubts on the Father, he that denies the Son, the Lord Jesus, denies his deity, denies his eternal incarnation, his sacrificial work. In denying the Son, he denies the Father. He does not know the Father. It says, no man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And that's God's Word. In 1 John 5:10 it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not in the Son of God hath made God a liar, because he does not believe the record that God gave of his Son. When I or any person, whoever it is, puts doubt on Christ or questions Christ's effectual atonement, the person, the work, or whatever, we don't believe in Christ, we are calling God a liar. And the reason this is so is because we don't believe what God has said about his Son, the Lord Jesus. It is God that said it, not you or I. In 2 John verse 9, the scripture says, and I want you to listen to this, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Jesus Christ hath not God.
Amen.
And when the scripture talks about Jesus Christ, they're talking about God in the flesh. Not some wimpy Jesus Christ who's waiting for us to do something. Not some Jesus Christ who could lose his people because they turned and gone the other direction. I turn and go the other direction all the time. Thank God for his power that turns me back.
Yes.
If it wasn't for his loving hand to me, I would step in so deep that I would go to that burning pit. I've heard preachers who preach God, but they don't preach Christ. There was that Joel. Yeah. Lance Heller was telling me one time, he was on TV, national TV. Now here's a man who says he's a man of God. He preaches to millions on TV, and he had a whole hour to spend talking to some fool on TV, and not once in that entire hour did he mention Christ. Lance listened to him only to hear if he would say Jesus Christ, and he not once in that entire hour did he mention it. If they want to talk about Muhammad, or they want to talk about Virgin Mary, or Confucius, or family ties or heritage, they may talk God the Father, but they don't give any glory to Jesus Christ. It says, whosoever abides not in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Well, what is this doctrine? It's the doctrine of his eternality. He's eternal. Jesus Christ was before the world was, just as Jesus Christ will be for eternity past. He wasn't a man. He had to become a man so that he could go to that cross and shed his blood for our sins. But he has always been Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
If they don't talk about his covenant mercies, his incarnation, his righteousness, his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, his exaltation, his second coming. If a man doubts, if he does not abide in the teachings, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, then he hath not God with him. He does not know God because he does not believe the record that God has left for his sons. You know, it's plain and clear. Paul and Mary and I were talking about that last week. It's so simple. Friday night, we're looking into Galatians. It's so simple. There's no questions. How can this man who claims to be a The leader of the Catholic Church, who knows more about Scripture than I'll ever know, how can he read those very things in Galatians and not see the truth of who Jesus Christ is? Because God has never done a work in his heart. The Son has never revealed him. And they make God out to be a liar. We worship Christ because he is God. The apostles went up upon the mountain. And there, Peter and James and John, along with the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says that God brought Moses and Elijah back from heaven. They sat there and talked for a moment or two, and the disciples saw Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets, and they were sitting there talking with Jesus of Nazareth. What did they talk about, you think? Well, they talked about his death. This was the summit meeting of all summit meetings. There was the law, the prophets, and the Son of God, to whom the law and the prophets bear witness of. They talked about his death, and in a moment, Moses was gone and Elijah was gone and Christ was the only one there. The law was gone. Our Lord came to fulfill that law, and he did it perfectly. The disciples saw Moses. The glory of God glistened upon him. His clothes glistening. The scripture says his raiment was white as the light. And it also says that a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Yes. We want to listen to the prophets. We want to listen to the law. Oh, no. No. No, 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 no. We want to listen to him. Because you see, from the Lord Jesus, we will hear mercy. And we will hear grace. Which is what I need a lot of. What I'm trying to say here is this. The Lord taught the disciples that I and my Father are one. One of them said to him, "Just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." And he said, "Have I been with you so long that you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one." So my friends, without reservation, without hesitation, without apology, and without fear, I boldly declare unto you who hear me that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus born in Bethlehem, Jesus who walked this earth and died on the cross, Jesus Christ is none other than God Almighty in human flesh. He who came to this earth to redeem a people for his glory and for his kingdom. There's no controversy in that. When we glorify the Son, we glorify the Father. The one of whom he is well pleased of. This is what the Bible teaches, and it's what the Word of God teaches, and it is truth. If you don't believe that, then just take your Bible right now and throw it out, because it says it from cover to cover. You don't need the Bible if you're not going to believe that. All the way throughout it. He's the only revelation of God in human flesh. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God has appointed a day in which he is going to judge this world by the man, Jesus Christ. People talk about going to judgment. God the Father judges no man. He committed all judgment to the Son. Judgment will be based upon who he is, what he has done, why he did it, and where he is now. Judgment's going to be based entirely on your honor, on you honoring the Son, and how I honor the Son. I can stand up here and brag on you all day, I can brag on me, and we can brag on each other. And we can talk about all of our great denominations, and our great programs, and our great buildings, we can talk about this being great, or that being great. And you're going to find that the only thing great in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is going to honor the Son. The whole judgment, everything about it, is not going to be about how many watermelons you stole or how many of this or whatever of that. It's going to be this. What think ye of Christ? If you don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are not honoring Him. Whosoever believeth on me shall have everlasting life. Isn't that what He says? Our hope for participation in that kingdom to come is to be among the people out of every tribe, every kindred, every nation, and every tongue under heaven that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and receives Him in our hearts. To be a part of those who honor the Son, who bow to the Son, and to know the Son, and just to have Him call my name to know me. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and God made Him the Lord and Christ, thou shalt be saved. That is what honoring the Son. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll spend the last few minutes here on this very scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And let's look at it together, shall we? It's very clear, it's very plain, and it's very necessary. First of all, it says, all things are of God. All things in creation, all things in providence, all things in salvation are of God. Now watch the next line. It says, who hath reconciled us? Who hath brought us back into fellowship? Who hath drawn us back who went astray? Who has forgiven all of our iniquities? He hath reconciled us. He hath destroyed the enmity between Himself and us. He hath reconciled us unto Himself. He hath accepted us unto Himself. How? How has He done this? Well, the answer is by Jesus Christ. It's not by some water that they put on my head or when I was an infant, or it wasn't some promise that I made in rededication. It wasn't because of some commitments that I made at a revival meeting. It was by Jesus Christ Himself. You see, God is holy, and we are sinners. God came into this world in Christ, and He lived for us, that He might impute to us perfect holiness, and He died for us that He might put away our sin. He hath reconciled us unto Himself. It wasn't by our act, but it was by an act of Christ. It wasn't by our works, it was the work of Jesus Himself. Look at the next line. It says, and He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the good news. This is the gospel that we have to give to the world. We're sinners, saved by grace. What a statement that is to our fellow workers, to our loved ones, to my son, to my daughter. Dad can do all these other great things that they think of me, but one of the best things I can say to them is I am a sinner, saved by grace. What is the good news? What is the gospel? What is the testimony? What is the witness? Look at verse 19. To wit, namely, that God was in Christ. This is what I've been saying through the whole message. God was in Christ. When He was born in Bethlehem, God was born in human flesh. When He walked this earth, it was God who walked this earth. When He hungered, it was God who hungered. When He thirsted, it was God who thirsted. When He cried out, it was God who cried out. Scripture says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels and preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world and received up into glory. Christ Jesus is God in the flesh. He hath given us this gospel of reconciliation, namely that Almighty God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. God was in Christ satisfying His own law. He walked perfectly. He took care of everything for us. He was honoring His own commandments, doing His own will, glorifying His own commandments, honoring His own justice, and dying to satisfy His own requirements. God was in Christ. You see, He's the only one that can honor His law. He had to be made of a woman. He had to be made under the law. That's what Scripture says, right? Because He's the only one who could honor that law. What the law could not do because it was weak in the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. Let me say this carefully, and I want you to listen. You who won't bow to Christ and consider Christ Jesus or honor Christ Jesus or believe Christ Jesus or receive Him as your substitute, who is going to honor the law for you? Who? Can you? It has to be honored. Who is going to obey God's commandments for you? They have to be obeyed. Who is going to bear the judgment and the justice of God for you? For it has to be borne. No one but Christ can bear it. Christ, God was in Christ honoring His law for those who believe, who can satisfy His justice. God did it. He's the only one who can keep His law. He's the only one who can satisfy His justice. And He's the one. How could one man suffer for so many? Well, the reason is because He is God. The Scripture also says they're not imputing their trespasses to them. The word impute means charge. Not charging their trespasses to them. Why? Because our Lord took those trespasses upon Himself. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Is that correct? Isn't that what the word says? Here's one of the things that just blessed my soul. Thinking about Him who was made to be sin for me. He is able to save to the uttermost. I don't know about you folks, but that means a lot to me. As I walk through this world and I see the times that I stumble, the times that thoughts go through my mind that shouldn't, I know my Lord has taken all of that on Him. That does not give me a license to go out and continue. In fact, just the opposite. Lord, help me to turn from those things. But when I don't, when I stumble and fall on my face, I know my Lord has me. Just as He did Peter, reaching down and grabbing Peter before he could sink into the sea. When I fail and take my eyes off of Christ, He has a hold of me. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. Not by you, not by anything we've done, but by Him. Our Lord has committed us unto this gospel. He calls and He sends preachers to preach this very gospel. To preach that our sins are forgiven. All of God's elect shall come to Him, because the Father hath given them to Him, and He shall lose none. In verse 20 we read, "And now, when then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Well, who's speaking? Me. I'm the one who's talking right now, right? But that's only half of it, folks. I can stand here before you and read the Word of God, but just like that man who sits over there in Rome, Unless the Lord does a work in your heart, you will not see it. You can read His Word all day long. Memorize every word there is between the front and back covers of this book. But unless God speaks to your heart, you'll never know the Son as God in the flesh. It says as though God did beseech you by us. How else is God going to speak to you if He doesn't speak to you through a man? If He doesn't give a man to say, be ye reconciled to God. Lay down your shotgun. Put down your sword. Surrender and bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ye reconciled to God, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Now watch this in the last verse. There are three people that I want to make mention of. It says, He hath made Him to be sin for us. Three people. He, the Father, has made Him, the Son, to be sin, to be a sacrifice for sin for us. Father, Son, and sinner, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Did you notice the three again? That's the gospel. And he that honoreth the Son, honoreth the Father. The person who sits there, wherever you are, this very moment, whatever time it might be for you, wherever you might be listening, it is not saying that I am right. It is saying that the gospel is right. The scriptures are right. And that God is also right. And He is truth. What that man is saying is, so I am a sinner and God is holy. The only one who can take care of my sins and put away my guilt and reconcile me to God and restore my soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because the Father had made Him sin for me. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. He, God Almighty, made Him, our Lord, to be sin for us in order that we might be made whole, holy and righteous of God in Him. I say to you this morning, honor the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which sent Him. Where do you stand this morning? What think ye of Christ? Is He God to you? Or is He just some figure that you want to try to be like? I want to love everybody like Jesus loved everybody. Just some figure, some guy who walked really good, did some really nice things. Or is He my Creator? That's it. He's Lord of all. Amen. You stand with me, please.